Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Tammy Schofstall. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida, and I'll be your host tonight. I'm also a survivor of child abuse. Tonight's show is an open mic show, a question and answer with Dr. Jaime Romo. Dr. Romo is from San Diego, California. He's an educator and a consultant, author, and commissioned minister who promotes healing from abuse and prevention of child sexual abuse, particularly abuse in the religious authorities or its context of a religious setting. He also wrote the workbook, Healing the Sexual Abused Heart, a workbook for survivors and thrivers and supporters. So I'm looking forward to the show. It's always a good show when Dr. Jaime Romo is with us. He hasn't joined us right now, but hopefully he will soon. Before I get started with the show, let me tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we're self-supported through our own contributions. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose: to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two perspectives. First, we educate the public, especially getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse. We present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Here at NASCA, we are fighting for kids and serving adult survivors. Be aware, be a voice, be a hero, be brave. Like I said, tonight's show is an open mic show. We'd love to have folks call in. We know a lot of people do stream in, and it's really easy to join us. If you could talk on a party line with friends, then you can certainly participate in the show very easily. We'd love to have you. The telephone number is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. I'm looking at the panel, and Dr. Romo has not called in at this time. We do have one person who is my trailer tonight who has joined us, and this is Lori calling from Calgary, Canada. So I'm going to open Lori's mic.
Hi, Tammy.
Good evening, Lori.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you here as well. It may be me and you speaking for a little while. Hopefully people will call in. They haven't done so at this time, and we're waiting for our host to show as well. So hopefully
He'll
be here soon. If not, you know, you and I can just chat. Is there anything on your mind that you would like to start off with, anything that's on your heart? I know you and I talked this afternoon when we went over some of the details. Anyone listening, Lori's going to start hosting as well. So I'm really excited about that. Lori did mention to me that she wanted to help and touch as many survivors as possible. So, Lori, I'm going to turn the mic over to you for a few minutes and see if you have any thoughts on your heart.
Sure. Well, yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. I love NASCA. I love the mission, and I love everything about it. It's been very helpful for me as a survivor of abuse, just to have this family of survivors, you know, that I know are there for me no matter what. You know, I can make a phone call if I need to anybody on that list, on the NASCA list, and I know that I'll have somebody that I can speak to that's going to understand where I'm coming from and just offer some support. So I think it's great, and I'm happy to be able to do these shows. You know, I used to do my own Blog Talk Radio program. I did it for about 10 years, and it was very helpful. I found it very helpful. You know, I was hoping that other survivors would also as well. But I knew Bill was doing this show as well, and I always, you know, tell people it's a great resource. So I'm glad to be a part of it, and I'm happy to be able to do, you know, host a show here and there too, just like
Absolutely.
The old days.
Well, tell me about your show, because you said that you had a Blog Talk Radio for about 10 years. Tell me what that show was about.
Well, I used it, it was my healing journey online. I actually heard a lady speaking on Blog Talk Radio. I just clicked on a link one day, this was about 12 years ago, and it was Gail Crabtree. A lot of people know who Gail Crabtree is. She's awesome. She's an advocate for sexual abuse survivors and or sexual assault survivors. And she was doing a Blog Talk Radio show, and I thought, hey, I could do that. You know, so I created my own show. I called it One Child Abuse Survivor to Another, just because I thought, you know, I'll be speaking to people who are probably survivors of abuse and child abuse especially. So I covered topics, basically, just kind of like what NASCA is doing. It was just me speaking sort of monologue all the time, but I did have some guests on there. And Carol Levine was on there a few times, and that was really awesome. And I had all sorts of survivors come on and just talk about their story. So I was doing that myself, and Bill was doing that over here. I found it very helpful for my healing journey, because it helped me to concentrate on certain issues regarding adult survivors of child abuse and what we go through. In our healing journey, mm-hmm. and it helped me to do it in chunks, you know, in pieces during the, you know, a certain specific part of the day. So it's kind of like part of my healing journey. I really enjoyed doing it, and I was hoping that it would just help somebody out there, you know, who was listening. So I did that for a long time. I finally kind of had to give it up. My husband was very sick, and he ended up passing away mm-hmm. 2 years ago, but about, I would say, the year before that, or even 2 years before that, so about the last 4 years, his health was going downhill, and he required a lot more care. My health was going down. I was kind of like, okay, you know, I have to, other things took priority over the show, unfortunately. So I did drop off there. I would only do, a show here and there just for if I had time or whatever. And I was working as well, so I was busy. And so I sort of let it go, but it's still there, and it's still on Blog Talk Radio here. People can still listen to some of the shows. I had to remove a lot of them because the storage, I don't have a paid account on Blog Talk Radio, so I can't store a lot of material there anymore. So I put it all on my website. So people
okay.
can see it there if they want to. And but it was mainly my healing journey. I was going through looking at the different, you know, what is grief and what kind of a grief are we experiencing as child abuse survivors. And, you know, all sorts of topics, just about every topic you can
right.
think of. And it was part
wow.
of my healing journey, because I would do the work on it before, well, a little bit before the show and then after. So it was kind of helpful. It was like therapy, Blog Talk Radio therapy.
Absolutely. Well, I want to share that number if anyone's listening. Dr. Romo is not here at this time. Hopefully I might need to reach out to Bill and see if he can call Dr. Romo and see if maybe he's running late. If there's anyone listening, we could definitely use the support. Please call in 646-595-2118. But we'll just carry on the show. It may just be you and I having a conversation, and that's okay too. I can tell you, I don't know if you know a lot about my story. I've told my story on here a couple of times. I am a survivor of child abuse. My grandmother was my main abuser when I was very, very young, very abusive. I still had my innocence at that time, but she was just terrified. I know somebody put something on Facebook. I've seen this. If your grandmother was here, what could you say about her? If you had the privilege of knowing your grandmother, what can you share about her? And all I could think, and I keep seeing it over and over and over in Facebook, and all I can think is, my grandmother beat me. You know, it is part of my story. And as sad as it is, and the pain that I went through, and the anger that I've gone through the years, it's still part of who I am, and it made me the person I am right now. I would never wish that on anyone, and I certainly wish I hadn't have gone through it, but had I not gone through it, I wouldn't be the person I am now. I wouldn't be on the show tonight. I can almost guarantee you that. Why would I be? Why would I be exposed to anything like that if I had a normal childhood? So it does open the door to help, you know, other people share my story and help other people as well. So, you know, I know it's called making lemonade, but NASCA was a big part of my healing journey, just like you, getting involved. I've never been to a therapist, not that there's anything wrong with therapists. I've never been on medication, never been to group therapy other than the NASCA show. And this has been, just like you, it's been a big part of my healing journey, just connecting with other people, hearing the stories. A lot of times we think we're going through this alone, and we're the only one who understands it, that, you know, sometimes we mistakenly think no one else is going through this. I'm the only one that's enduring this, and there couldn't be anything further from the truth, because there's a lot of survivors out there. So, you know, anything we can do to help ourselves and help others is a good thing. So,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I think we all sort of feel like that, especially in the beginning of our healing journey, before we reach out, feel like we are alone in this, you know, pain, and that nobody would understand. And it's once you start reaching out, you know, you start to realize, like, wow, there's a lot of people out there who do understand. You know, we've all been through different things, but we share that commonality of being abused. And so we know what it is to feel, you know, to feel hurt and to feel afraid and fear and anger and all of those things that are related. So in that, you know, we share all that. And it's so important to reach out. I know. I'm glad that I did finally at the age of 42. It took me a long time, but I finally decided to reach out, and that was the smartest thing I ever did. So I always encourage others, you know, just do it. It's hard, you know, sometimes to – people are a little afraid to do that. You know, it's the fear of the unknown, sort of. But carrying that by ourselves and carrying that alone, that pain and that, you know, whatever it is that we're experiencing – is not good. That's part of the problem, you know, is that we are, you know, at that point alone. We need to have people to support us. We need to know that there is somebody there that does care, and that we are acceptable. We are important. We are wanted. We are needed. You know, we do matter. That was a big thing for me, is that, you know, hey, our voices matter. You know, we were shut down as children, but that doesn't mean as adults that we have to stay that way. Our voices are important, and we do have a voice, so we should use it.
Absolutely. Well, I just sent Bill a text. He read it, and I let him know that Dr. Romo's not here. maybe he can reach out to him and find out what's going on.
I'm sure.
Yeah, he's going to listen to that.
Well, you know, again, I'm going to share that number one more time for anyone who's streaming in. It's 646-595-2118. Please call in. We could use the support, and also we can feed off each other. So please call in if anyone's out there. So anyway, so Bill said that he did confirm with Carol. So maybe something. You know, hopefully he's just running late. But anyway, we'll get started without until he gets here, or if some other folks will call in. Like I said, it's been a big part of my healing journey as well. you know, one thing I have learned through all of this is, you know, when I'm hurting, and there's been plenty of times that I have, you know, been in a fetal position, and trying to pull myself up by the bootstraps, helping mm-hmm. other people and getting involved has made a huge impact in my healing journey as well. But somebody has popped in here. It's got a 603 number. I'm going to open this mic. Area code 603, who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
This is Mike Skinner from New Hampshire.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. I know that you did reach out to me on Facebook. We're waiting for Dr. Romo to join us. He has not done so at this time, but I'm glad that you called in. I really appreciate that. Bill is reaching out to Dr. Romo, I believe, now. But if you'd like to stay with us.
The two of you. And, yeah, so I thought, well, they're asking for someone to call in, so I'll call in because I was listening to you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. And I remember, Mike, I believe I was on the panel, if I didn't host, when you told your story, and you had an incredible story. You were in a band, too, right?
I was, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm still a musician. I was in a band years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of remembered that a little bit. But if you'd like to share with us, I'll turn the mic over to you. If there's anything in your heart that you wanted to bring on the table for us to discuss, please do so.
Well, just, you know, more so, you know, listening to the two of you, and I don't know, because I'm actually going to be on next week, next Wednesday. Anything you want to ask me, or you two can just keep chatting, and then I can add commentary or whatever, or thoughts.
Okay. Well, hold that thought. We do have another caller. It's an area code 587 number. Area code 587, who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
Hi, everyone. It's Ekaterina from Canada.
Hey, Ekaterina. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. I appreciate the support.
Yep.
I know Lori does as well, so we've got us a good show. And hopefully Dr. Romo
well, I miss you guys, so I have to call in. Hi.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. If something happened, I'm sure, because he's fabulous. Dr. Romo is absolutely amazing. I always enjoy having him on the show. But he may have had some sort of emergency, or he may be just running late. But for right now, we've got us a panel. I'm calling in, Tammy, calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida. We've got Lori from Calgary, Canada. We have two Canadians on here tonight. We have Mike Skinner. Mike, where are you calling in from? What area?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. We have Mike from New
yep.
Hampshire, and we have Ekaterina calling in from Canada. So thank you all for being here. I really appreciate that. So we'll go ahead and continue with the show, and it is an open mic. If anyone else would like to call in, it's 646-595-2118. So if anybody has something on their heart that they or a theme that they'd like to get started with, that would be awesome. Anyone?
I'll give some background on Jaime Romo, my interactions with him, because as I said in the Facebook thing, because he's a great guy and I've come to know him. Now I know him as a friend. We met as, you know, advocates, educators on trauma and abuse many years ago. And then the National Center for Trauma-Informed Care asked myself and someone else to put together a group of fellow male survivors of trauma and abuse to help give them information on how to steer, you know, services for males who've been, you know, dealing with trauma, abuse, and mental health concerns. So I pitched Jaime's name to get him on board, and him and several others, and it was a group of 10 of us, and we were quite active for a couple of years. We still stay in touch with each other, but it was such a great experience because we were all different and unique in what we were doing, but the 10 of us just really put aside all our differences, and the main focus was to address the unmet needs of males who have experienced trauma in their lives. So it was just it was just a great experience, and so I just I think the world of Jaime, you always have and always will. So I just wanted to share that.
Oh, absolutely. When I saw that he was going to be on the show tonight, I'm like, all right. So Bill is texting him. So if he doesn't show, we'll still, if he's not able to join us, that's fine. We'll just continue going on. But I appreciate you sharing that. Every time he's on the show, it's just phenomenal. Well, Katarina, thank you for joining us as well. I really appreciate that. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Like I said, we have two Canadians on the board. So, Katarina, do you have something on your heart that you'd like to share?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think we Canadians are flocking over. Like, it's getting really cold down here. So I'm not surprised that there's more of us. You know, one thing I wanted to maybe talk about is, and that's because I am feeling super anxious today, especially right now, as life throws things our way. We survivors of child abuse, how do we handle the real world, you know, whether it's legal issues or it's medical issues or it's accounting or it's this whole job losses thing. It's like, how do we maintain that sense of integrity and that sense of peace in a very turmoil world? Maybe that's something we can talk about. Just because I'm feeling anxious.
Okay. Does anybody have any thoughts on what Katarina has presented?
That's a great topic.
Well, this is boring. Yeah. You go ahead, Mike.
No. I'll listen to someone else first. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah, this is Lori in Calgary.
Go ahead, Lori.
Oh, I was just going to say, that is a great topic because it's very timely. I think most of the world is anxious right now, and you know, with especially with the situation with COVID-19, and survivors of abuse would be feeling it probably even more so. And so, yeah, it's very important. Yeah, go ahead, Tammy. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Oh, no. I appreciate your thoughts very, very much. You know, one thing, like you said, with everything going on right now, one of the things that goes through my mind, and it's heavy on my heart, are all the children who are confined that get a little bit of relief from the from their turmoil at home when they go to school, and they don't even have that outlet. You know, they're stuck 24/7 a lot of times with their abuser, and I know those statistics have gone up. So I know a lot of people are anxious on that, and the kids. I mean, poor kids. They just don't get a break from that turmoil that they have at home. But you know, how do you stay positive in all this negative? It's tough, you know, because sometimes, you know, I'm not a depressed person, but sometimes I do get depressed, and how do I pull myself out of it? I had mentioned earlier that, you know, there are times that I ball up in a fetal position, and I used to stay in it for a great deal longer than I do now. You know, now I've come up with some self tools to get myself out of it. You know, I'll go ahead and allow myself to cry and whatever I need at the time, but I'll, you know, it's an hour or two instead of days or weeks. So, you know, just, you know, a pep talk. One thing I'm a firm believer of is we've got to learn to love ourselves. A lot of times people, you know, they pick up where their abusers left off, and we've got to remember that we don't have to be defined by, you know, what other people have defined us by. So we can move on from that. And, you know, learn to love ourselves and be kind to ourselves. We do have another caller who's called in. Mr. Bill Murray has called in. Thank you for joining us, Bill.
Sure. I don't know what the topic is, so I'll just wait a little while to make any comments, but I'm happy to be here and support the group.
Well, at this point, we have Lori in Calgary Canada, Mike Skinner, New Hampshire, and Mike has said that he's going to be on the show next week, so I'm glad he has joined
us.
Yeah,
hey, Mike.
And we've got,
that's great.
Hi, Bill.
And we got a Katarina from Alberta, Canada, and we've got Mr. Bill Murray. So the only thing we've kind of come up with, go ahead.
I've been alerted to the fact that Jaime's not here, and so I've left him a text and a phone message. We'll see if he calls in. But otherwise, I know we're capable of having a good show no matter what, and I'm here to help, okay?
Absolutely.
Any way I can.
Okay, well, the question that Katarina presented to the group is, what can we do in all the turbulence and dealing with the stress of our past, or with COVID-19, as Lori mentioned to us, what can we do to keep ourselves positive? So that's what's on the table for us to discuss.
Oh, great.
For myself, this is Mike talking, and I absolutely agree with you on learning to love yourself. But I can imagine for some listeners, they're just shaking their head, as I once did many years ago. For myself, learning to like myself first helped me finally get to learning to love myself. But that was a long process. But I do agree with you. But for me, just finding a way to learning to like myself, that helped. Then that set the way for me to find a way to learning to love myself. But how to stay positive in this time? It is hard. But without being cliched, I'm grateful that I have my basic needs met of safety, shelter, I have food, so my bills are paid. So I'm grateful for that. There's down times, but I then just go out into the backyard, or I spend time in nature, with flowers, or just staring off into the forest if I can see some animals, or just walking in the forest, or just picking up my guitar, or going to play my drums, or whatever. Just anything with music, and it's hard to connect with people because of all the concerns with the COVID, and I take it seriously because the trauma in my life, it did impact my immune system, so I'm well aware of that. I don't live in fear of it, but I'm mindful of it. I don't want to get anything, so I just practice being safe as best I can, and just knowing that this too shall pass. So that's how I get through, part of how I get through it, to stay positive.
This is Tammy.
Yeah.
I like that. That's one of my favorite phrases, is this, or quotes from the Bible, this too shall pass. Because a lot of times, Mike and the rest of the panel, when we're going through that, it seems like forever. Like I said, when I used to, curl up in a fetal position, it was forever. It's almost like it's never going to end. We've got to learn ways to pick ourselves up. This too shall pass. And, sometimes I've had to tell myself that. This too shall pass. Some of the things that I've heard some of the other survivors, talk about, like Mike said, picking up a guitar. We've got some folks who, turn to their art, turn to writing poetry, or, drawing, or gardening. There's a lot of things that we can do to pick ourselves up and keep ourselves occupied and pull ourselves out of that funk, so to speak. So let's go back to Katarina. Katarina, because you started that, you presented that topic. So what do you think?
Well, those are really, really great suggestions. I have a couple of things that I do, I guess, and some things that I'm still working on. Poetry, definitely. When I was being abused as a child most of my life, I turned to writing. And I was writing poetry, and I was writing my story, but then I couldn't actually keep it because my mom would go through my stuff and read it. And when she would find something, she would rage, right? And I would get beaten and emotionally put down. So then I went, when I had a laptop or whatever, it all went on there. But there were periods in my life where I couldn't write because it wasn't safe to write. But I always loved writing, so I continued doing it. One thing that I'm working on right now, and I think most survivors at some point maybe get to this point where you learn that it's not even about what you do day to day. It's also about protecting yourself from future predators, wolves in sheep's clothing. So as you're dealing with society at large, as you're interacting with people in banks, or you're interacting with the medical field or the legal field or social workers or counselors, those interactions aren't always going to go smoothly. Like wolves in sheep's clothing, you know, do hide away on all levels of society. So what I learned, and these were really new skills for me, was to pick up on the red flags, listen to the intuition. If something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't, you know, and people's behaviors, if they don't really mesh at the moment, or, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. As we become adults, we might feel like children still with trauma, you know, living inside of us. But in the adult world, it can be a cruel place sometimes. You know, corruption does exist. So my learning at this moment is actually keeping those type of people away. And when I am dealing with them, how do I manage it in such a manner that I'm protected and I still get my needs met? You know, so for instance, if it's something important, insurance related or legal related, I keep things by email. You know, I keep things by email. Like, it's little things like that where you keep a record to protect yourself, you know. Or another thing I'm learning, and it's really hard, is to speak up during the injustice. So when the injustice is happening, usually I take forever to speak up. But now I'm learning that if I wait a long time, it's always going to bite me. I end up losing in the end. So I'm trying to build the courage to speak up as the injustice happens so it can be stopped. And I don't have to reminisce about it and feel like a total failure because I didn't address it.
Okay, those are some good thoughts. Anybody want to comment on what Ekaterina has shared with us?
I do. This is Lori in Calgary.
Lori?
And I completely relate. I can completely relate to what you're talking about because I have the same issues. I think a lot of people do. And you know, I don't know, because I was abused severely as a child by both of my parents. I really had trust issues my whole life. And asserting myself when I need to, especially in, like Ekaterina was talking about there, you know, in situations of, you know, whoever we need to get something done with, whether it's a social situation, a bank, you know, a legal situation, whatever it is, fear sort of starts to take over because I don't trust the situation anyway because I don't, you know, my trust issues are still pretty low. I'm working on it. But I had some good sort of reading done. It was working on boundary issues. I did a lot of work on boundary issues, which did help me out a lot. And I'm still working on it, but it's something, you know, it's over a period of time. It's getting better. And also just learning that, just knowing that I have rights, because as a child, abused children being abused, you know, I grew up with no rights, you know. I was made to feel and I was told that I didn't have the right to live even. And so, you know, my mom would tell me that she had the right to kill me if she wanted to, sort of thing. So I just, you know, grew up with no rights. So I didn't feel that I had any rights and I have a hard time standing up for my rights. But as an adult, I know that I have the right to be treated, you know, fairly, with dignity, you know, with respect. And if I give that respect and I give that dignity to other people, I expect to receive it back. And so that's helped me a lot as an adult, you know, adult survivor, is to know that I do have rights. I can speak up. And sometimes the fear will set in just for a bit, you know, if I have to assert myself. But it's kind of like, well, no, but this is my right. I have the right to stand up for myself. I have the right to get help. I have the right to be treated fairly. So that's important for survivors of abuse. It really is, you know, to remember that you, as an adult, you do have rights. We do then have to treat people the same way, with respect and dignity, but expect to receive that back. Absolutely.
Right.
I agree.
Well, this is
great,
Tammy.
Great thoughts from.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike. No. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just saying, great thoughts from both Katerina and Laurie. I agree.
Absolutely. Well, this is Tammy. I'll share a little bit, and then we'll continue. But you know, I guess I can relate to what you guys are saying. My story is a little bit different because, you know, I was told the same thing. You know, that worthless, dumb, stupid. World be better off had you never been born. Blah 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 blah. But as a child, you know, I guess I took my right. You know, a lot of times, and to this day, Bill can attest to this. I speak my mind. You know, a lot of times I'll speak before it. Spew it out before I even think about it. Well, I did that as a child too, and I would see stars. So, you know, that is something that I've had to deal with is, you know, not, you know, to speak my mind and then flinch, you know, for the longest time when I was younger, because I would know that, you know, I would speak my mind. That's just who I am, and, you know, pay the price for it. Trust issues. I talked about this a couple of times on the show. I don't trust anyone. I mean, no one, but I can still interact with people. I learned a long time ago that people will let you down, and if it comes to them or you, they're going to pick them. And I guess I just come in it backwards, thinking that, you know, that everybody has the potential to let me down. So I expect it. They follow through, and they you know, they do whatever they said. They keep their integrity or whatever. Great. But, you know, I also know that chances are people will let me down at times. So, you know, I've worked through things kind of backwards. I'm left-handed, so I'm backwards anyway. So those are my thoughts. Anybody else?
Yeah, the whole trust thing, boy, that's a tough one. I still struggle with that. I hear you, Tammy, and there's parts of me that saying yes, and there's parts of me that are trying to change that. And I do trust a few folks to a point, but I look at where that comes from, and it's steeped in what happened to me as a child and as a young adult, all the breaking of trust, whether, you know, from the hands of my parents to pawning me off to other adults, and then, you know, even my mother with her, you know, bringing me to her church and the pastor and several of their perverted friends. So yeah, trust, and then even being in the music business as a musician, a young musician, you know, we were screwed so many times out of money and different things. You know, and you're 18, 19, 20, 21, you don't have the wherewithal to know all the business ins and outs. And so, yeah, trust is huge. And trying to believe in someone is hard. I have a few folks that I believe in, but I suppose I fall where you are, Tammy, in a way that I'm not sure if I fully trust people. I care for a lot of people. I love a lot of people, but yeah, that's a tough one. So I'm talking in circles on that because I want to say I trust, and yet at the same time, I don't think I fully do in some respects.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Mike. You know, you expect the worst and hope for the best, I guess, sort of thing. You know, if they follow through and, you know, surprise me or whatever, that's great. And there, you know, there are people who I have found that do genuinely care about me. And, you know, I think everybody at some point has found people that we can rely on to a point. But, you know, when your parents let you down or family members let you down, or especially as a child, people who you trusted, you know, let you down. Well, if these people let me down, you know, what is this person who really is just a, you know, fair weather friend, or, you know, just someone in my life? They're not gonna put themselves out for me. You know, they'll, as long as it doesn't inconvenience them, it'll be fine. But the minute that it becomes me or them, they're gonna choose them, and that's just human nature. And I've come to accept that, and that's okay. I can still deal with people. So that's my stance on it. I think Bill was trying to say something. Bill, was that you?
Yeah, I'm not sure what I was going to say then, but, you know, I do want to participate in this conversation and admit that you know, as much as has happened to me and many miracles that have happened, I still find myself in today, which is where I live. I always live in today, disappointed. And I think, you know, I'm thinking back as people mention the issue of trust that, you know, my parents were not people who taught life skills. They didn't teach life skills. They taught manners. They taught obligation. They taught responsibility. They didn't teach life skills, though. They didn't really teach me, for example, how to negotiate or how to, you know, or how to stand up for myself or any of that kind of stuff. And then, so I, you know, and my mother's actually, I can't remember my mother giving me very much advice at all. But one thing I know she said was that life is a series of crises and how you get through them. Well, that's not a very optimistic way to express vision to their, to a child, but that's what I got from her. And the basis of most of what I learned was in Catholicism, and it was, it also happened to be the basis of where I was abused most. And, you know, so after all that time, when I emerged out of high school and go on into college, I mean, I was just set up to not have any skills, really. A lot of disappointment already behind me. And, you know, being presented with, yeah, learning how to play guitar, learning about women. I didn't know anything about women. And learning how to drink. Those three things I did extremely well. But very little else. And it actually took years for me to learn enough about life on life's terms to even start a career. I was already behind, you know, I was 10 years behind at least. And as a result, I've constantly felt like life has kind of skipped me by or like I'm disappointed. Now I'm in a stage of life where there isn't a lot of career stuff ahead of me. It's mostly behind me. And, you know, I'm still feeling creative. And but the most creative thing that I do is NASCA, frankly. And it's not as satisfying to me anymore. I keep it going, and it's growing still, and I'm happy about that. But I need a new something in my life to, you know, re-energize and have a kind of a purpose that I'm not getting. So I sit around thinking, is this all there is? I said this the other night on the show. You know, I sit around thinking, well, yeah, my, like Mike said, you know, I have the roof over my head, I have the food in the refrigerator, I have my bills are paid up until this point anyway. You know, I'm not afraid of that kind of stuff, at least at the nominal level I live. I don't live extravagantly, but I live comfortably. And that's fine. I still want to have something in my life that is energizing. I want it to say exciting. It doesn't have to be exciting, but it has to be something to look forward to, kind of. And right now, I don't have that. So I sit around thinking, is this all there's going to be? Is this it? You know, and it's disappointing to have a life on that basis. Now, I realize that what I already do is significant and important and all that, and that there's probably other stuff I can do. But I'm kind of stuck in the inactivity of thinking about it instead of going doing stuff. Like I haven't done any work on the music for many years now. I have instruments in the closet. Well, that's not doing me any good, you know. But I, like any musician, really enjoy sitting down with an instrument, and I lose myself in the music. Of course, we all do. We almost go to a different dimension, and I know this, but I haven't found the willingness to get the instruments out of the closet. It's kind of like being disappointed in myself. That's at the root of where I think I am today. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Anyway, that's my comment for now. I'll comment later too.
Hey Bill, it's Mike again.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah. However, you can find a way to pull out those guitars, boy, that may be what you're looking for. And I obviously I'm not in your head. I can't, but I can speak to myself who struggles with that, has struggled with that as a musician. And yet when I will find a way to pick it up finally, and then sometimes I can be in a funk that it even though it's perfectly tuned, it still sounds like crap. But then there's other times it's just going great. And then, you know, COVID, I lost all my gigs, my speaking, everything was shut down. But then in August and September, people started using Zooms and webinars, and I actually started performing again and speaking via webinars. It's a strange phenomenon, but I feel rejuvenated again. But I do hear you as a musician. And part of when I'm speaking, you know, presenting, that's one of the things I really double down on is all of us are creative. Everybody on this panel, anyone listening in, we all have our own creative gifts. And this is where it saddens me with trauma, how that can get in the way of our creativity. And I can't speak to all the reasons why we shut it down. There's a host of them. I know for myself, I have gotten stuck. I've had physical matters. I've had some head injuries which have interfered, and arthritis now in my hands. It scares me playing the guitar because it hurts. But you know, and when I say this too shall pass, I'm not trying to sound cliched. I try to find a way to get through it. But I do hear you on that. But John, if you, that may be what you're looking to do. You're a musician, you know, and when we deny who we are inside, we're cutting out a huge piece of our soul. That's how I feel. And I've done it with myself and without. I've seen it in others, and that's one of the songs I've written, the songs with the keys to your life, and it's addressing that simple fact that how the trauma of our respective lives or the losses can get in the way of us pursuing what our love is, for whatever that may be, whether it's cooking, gardening, sewing, painting, writing poetry. And I'll stop with that.
Okay, well, before we
that is,
we have, I'm so sorry. Let me. Who was that just speaking? And I'll come back to you. Was that Ekaterina?
It's Ekaterina, but you go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me catch this caller. We have Steve from New Jersey who has called in, and I want to catch him.
No.
Good evening, Steve. How are you?
Who's this, Tammy?
It is Tammy.
It's Steve McNally.
Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show. It's been a while since I've been on the show with you on here.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a phone for a while, and so here I am, listening to a great topic.
Well,
that's what sparked my curiosity. I heard talk of creativity and recovery, so good topic.
Right. Great. We also have another caller who has called in, area code 760. Let me open that mic. Area code 760, who do we have?
Yeah,
area
this
code
is Jaime. I'm so sorry, yes.
Oh, well, that's okay. Thank you for calling in. We figured something happened. But we've got a very healthy panel for you here, Dr. Romo, and we've got a really good discussion going on as well. So thank you for calling in. Let me go through the panel. I'm Tammy calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida. We have Lori calling in from Calgary, Canada. We have Steve who's just called in from New Jersey. We have Mike Skinner, who has called in from New Hampshire.
Mike Skinner. Hi, Jaime. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm so glad to hear your voice.
That's right. Came on. I said, I know that guy.
Nice.
I posted something on Facebook, and Mike chimed in, and he called in tonight. So I'm glad you're both here. We also have Ekaterina calling in from Alberta, Canada. We have Bill Murray calling in from Pompano Beach, Florida. And now we have Dr. Jaime Romo calling in from San Diego. So at this point, and we'll come back to you, Ekaterina, if you don't mind, but I do want to go to Dr. Romo for just a second and give him a chance to welcome everybody. Dr. Romo?
Well, thank you. And again, my apologies for being on so late. you may know, I'm currently a hospice chaplain, and I had a visit today that was very dramatic and beautiful, and so that affected everything. That's what happened. The dramatic and beautiful side is that it is somebody who's had a lot. This is the son of the patient who's had incredible physical challenges and has had a difficult life and has seems bottled it all up and basically was being, you know, able to be with them and surfacing just grief and, you know, being mad at God and being, you know, life is not fair and just, you know, I think that's, I could relate to that. There was a time in my own experience where I just was weeping and not able to see beyond, you know, what was painful, all the stuff that had been buried. And so just to hold space and know that, you know, my own life experience and through my own kind of healing and other things have such a powerful, useful side, you know, when we grow and integrate them. And, you know, and I know some of you on the call who are such examples of that. So again, apologies that that's where it came from.
Oh, well, prayers for the,
you know what, Jamie, I want you to know Mike Skinner's going to do his episode next week. And I know he'd love to have you there. Just as a hint. You may not know that, but I thought I'd get that in there.
Yeah,
but, you
Bill,
know,
gently twist in your arm, Jaime.
Huh?
He's gently twisting your arm, Jaime.
Oh, yeah. No. Jaime and I love each other, and we've known it. You know, we've talked a lot. And like you and I, my
that's
my
true.
Mike,
and
is,
he
you
is.
Know, it's the same deal. Many years. No,
many
but
years, yeah.
I'm delighted that you recognized Jaime was going to be here and showed up for him, so I'm just suggesting if he wanted to, he could join
yeah.
in that. But anyway, to make a really quick comment, I'm glad I knew there was something going on because Jaime is one of the most reliable people ever, and it's a consistent night that he adds once a month to appear on the show. So, but, you know, it's, I mean, what a great reason to miss the beginning of the show, because you're being of service in a way that, you know, you have a special gift to do, and not all of us can do that. At the end of somebody's life, I love hospice workers and the hospice system, which I've been involved in multiple times, because they are the most kind and gentle and understanding and passionate and compassionate folks. So everybody that works in whatever capacity they work in hospice, it is the cat's meow of our society, really. Mm. And we're all going to go there someday, maybe not to hospice, but to the end of our life, you know, at
yeah.
some point. And geez, it's what a special gift, Jaime. So but thank you for coming for the second half of the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm interested in, I heard something about creativity, and so I'll shut up and join you in a bit.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to go back to, if you guys don't mind, I want to go back to Katarina because she was about to speak, and hopefully she still has her thoughts. If not, she'll have others to share. So I do want to give her the mic for a minute. Katarina?
Wow. Well, I just got new thoughts downloaded as you guys were talking. You know what? I'm so glad that the pastor, right, joined, because this is exactly what we survivors need. We need sometimes at least one person that is a compassionate witness to our story, real empathy. You know, when I hear people speak, whether they're abused or they're going through addictions, or they're going through trauma in their life, a war or a tidal wave, you know, you name it. The one defining factor that keeps coming up is that need to be seen, that need to be heard, the want of connecting to someone that can see your pain, you know, and just acknowledge it. And that is so powerful. Now, I know in today's world, we almost live like we're on the island and it's survival of the fittest, you know, and people are just trying to survive. And that's where the hostility sometimes comes in and re-trauma comes in. Because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I feel like a little mouse. I feel like this little mouse in this huge world, and I'm scared, you know, and then things are coming at me. Sometimes I don't know where to run to get that safety, you know, and it definitely wasn't at home. And, you know, not all professionals are empathetic. Not every counselor you're going to find will have empathy or is highly sensitive. We all have different personalities, but I see a gem of a group, and these are the highly sensitive people, or even people that just get it because they lived it, and they make you feel validated and seen. You don't need to be surrounded by a billion of people. If you're feeling alone tonight, you just call NASCA. Call NASCA. Call NASCA next time. If it's not today, go to the Zoom groups that NASCA has. It's the healing of being around people that get it. That is so powerful. And that's why I'm calling NASCA, because I know you all get it. You know, most people don't get it. So here I am. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank
I'm
you
glad
for
what you
did. Yeah, that was great.
Absolutely. Let's do this. Dr. Romo, thank you for being here, and God bless the child that you were with, the person that you were with. But I wanted to see if there's any kind of theme or any kind of subject that you may have in mind that you wanted to share with the group. If not, we can continue with this conversation.
Sorry, I was on mute. Well, I don't want to disrupt the flow. I guess I would like
okay.
to add to what Katerina said and
sure.
and link it to actually this song that I'm learning, because for the first time, and maybe Mike would appreciate, I haven't played guitar for the long since the shutdown, since COVID, right? And I've missed that. It used to be a very healing part of my own journey. And joining with others and singing with others. And so on my way to this visit, I was just listening and learning this song. It's a Carole King 2018 song called One. And it's just a way to continue to reflect on, like, what can we do? You know, sometimes, you know, things are overwhelming and I can't, like, bring a system down. But it can be one that, you know, talks to two, that touches three, that becomes four, and so on. And I guess I'm just linking that to Katerina's thing, you know, how important it is just to be seen and heard, right? And I think that's part of the benefit of doing some healing, is that not only do we see and hear ourselves, but that allows us to see and hear others. And ideally, you know, more and more with compassion, with a sense of we're one, you know, like, we're literally the stardust of the universe, and you know, we all share so much. We're all in the same stressful soup, you know, social soup. And there's just more and more and more evidence to say we are interdependent, and the more that we can do our own work to heal, it's going to benefit others, if only to not continue to ratchet up, you know, the division or, you know, contempt or whatever, you know, that we have. So that's, okay. I guess, my thought is that, yeah, we are one. And
okay. That's a good thought. Steve Nally in New Jersey, what do you think about all this?
Wow. The whole thing of having an expression, whether it's a creative one of what I've gone through, that's been key to surviving and
to getting beyond just surviving, you know, to enjoying life. And for me, a big challenge has been, and I've heard a little bit of touching on this, is that it doesn't need to be dependent on necessarily what's going on or not, whether it's a beautiful day out, which it was in New Jersey. It was just an absolutely gorgeous weather day in New Jersey, which is rare. Or whether, you know, work is good, whether relationships are all good, you know, like I could still connect with people. You know, that's always a choice where I can connect with people. And, you know, creativity to me has been a huge part of my recovery, you know, whether it, you know, all I need is a pen, not even a pen, to do artwork. You could scratch something into a sidewalk with a rock if you can't find a pen, you know. And one of the things that's important to me, though, is, you know, as I was hearing the discussion about the playing the guitar and songs and sharing, is the importance of having somebody hear you, too, having somebody hear what I'm going through. Like, I've written and played beautiful music, a lot of it that people have never heard, never, ever heard, stuff that has, you know, been just because it's been my pouring out my own pain or my own expression of what I've been through. And to me, there's a huge difference between that and then sharing that with somebody, whether it has words to it or it's just, you know, the sounds of playing. And to me, it's ironic, this is a topic. Part of how I got my phone turned back on is one of the things I do for work is I work with a friend of mine, and we do cleanouts. You know, we clean out people's garages and stuff and basements when they're moving. A lot of it gets thrown out or some of it gets donated. And I found a couple old vintage guitars in there, one that I would have loved to keep, but it was more important for me to get my phone service back on and have a connection to people. You know, there was two guitars. I kept the crappier one for myself, which I could still play and enjoy. But for me, getting some internet access and connection back to people was more important. So I sold that online today.
Well, thank you for calling in. Let me just tell everybody, all the mics are open. So if anyone wants to chime in, please feel free to do so. Just, you know, identify yourself and jump in. I don't think we've heard from Lori, though, lately. Lori, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's this is Lori in Calgary. And, well, it's an interesting topic for sure. And I think I was sitting there, and while I was listening, I was thinking, yeah, it's – I know for myself – I've done a lot of talk therapy just on my own Blog Talk Radio show, just talking and talking and talking. And it didn't matter if anybody was listening because I was just talking. And I was hoping that it would help somebody out there. But writing my books was helpful. Just sharing my story so that I didn't have to carry that load myself, you know. It was helpful for sure. Being part of groups like NASCA, so important. And then at the end of the day, I was thinking, you know, there's those quiet times when we're sitting by ourselves, or at night when we're wake up in the middle of the night. If we're on our own or whatever. Even if we're with somebody, we can still be in that headspace of, you know, this is my issue. I'm dealing with, you know, the leftovers and the aftermath of abuse. And this was years ago now, but I had done some work with a program called Your Envisioned Mind, which was to go in and rescue myself from all the places I was wounded as a child and work with my inner children, which I used to think was really strange, but now I really appreciate it. I'm learning as the years go on and I'm getting older, I'm learning how to be more comfortable in my own space with myself. But it hasn't come overnight. It didn't come easy. And I think it's just this, you know, step by step, just little steps, you know, of learning that, you know, yeah, this world is not a secure, safe place. It never really was. It never was, and it really can't be. And I think we have to be secure in ourselves and love ourselves, you know, as that was brought up earlier. And we need to learn to love ourselves. And as survivors of abuse, that's difficult to do, like Mike Skinner was talking about earlier. I did learn how to do that, and I'm so thankful. Because at the end of the day, you know, when we're lonely, if we don't have anybody to talk to, and there's nobody around, and nobody can really help us get through our pain, we have to help ourselves get through that pain. We have to be good to ourselves. We have to be loving and kind to ourselves. And, you know, whatever ways of self-soothing a person can do, there's lots of different ways. But, you know, the arts is another way, like music and whatnot. Just to learn to appreciate ourselves for who we are, know our limitations, you know, and be okay with it at the end of the day. Because we've been through a lot. We've been through, you know, what you wouldn't wish on anybody, you know. And we've been put through the mill. And so we need to take care of ourselves. And I think sometimes there aren't people around to talk to. If, you know, we may try to phone somebody and they don't answer, and or it's the middle of the night, you just don't want to bother anybody or something. And it's like, you know, we need to comfort ourselves. We need to learn how to do that. I have learned how to do that through the years. It did take a while. But I'm pretty comfortable now with who I am and where I'm going, you know, in this life. It's a good place to be because I know I didn't used to be there. So I used to be on the other side where I had a lot of self-loathing and hated myself and hated this life and hated everything about it and was wanting to end my life for so many years. And now I'm so thankful and so happy to be here. I kind of savor every moment, even the ones that aren't great, you know, like my husband passing away and stuff and my own health issues and stuff. Even in that, you know, I'm starting to learn how to do it. I think it's just a process. You just have to keep going, keep working through it day by day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Read that information and get that information. There is good information out there. And recently I took up guitar playing, and that's been a lot of fun. It's been about 3 years, but I've put it away because my husband passed away and I really couldn't concentrate on it. But finding that outlet, that's important, you know, whether it's art, you know, drawing or sculpting or singing or whatever you like to do, writing, finding that creative outlet, that's important. Absolutely. So that's my take on it.
Okay. Well, before I go to Dr. Romo, I wanted to make a comment to Bill. Bill, sounds like that you need to get that guitar out of the closet. You've had a lot of inspiration on guitar playing on this show alone. So,
a lot of the people on this particular episode do play guitar. That's amazing. I know a lot of the stories here. Now, the other thing is, 100% of us, because I know everybody here, 100% of us can agree with what Lori just said, is that no matter where we are now, we're grateful that we're not where we used to be. Every one of us can say that.
Right.
And it's much better to be wherever we are right now. And we're all, you know, we all keep showing up, which is an indication that there is at least some degree of, you know, belief in the hope that we can heal a little more. We're all in that place. So, but yeah, I guess I could take out at least one guitar, maybe two.
Well, let me give Mike, because I don't think we've heard from Mike, but and then I want to go to Dr. Romo. But, Mike, I want to give you a chance to participate as well. So what do you think about all this?
I think the conversation is great. And it's interesting, Bill brought up about looking for how to get himself going. And he's talking about guitars. I talk about guitars. And others, Jaime talks about, he's picked up his guitar. So there's a theme here. So long
right,
and short, I just think. There's been several threads of the guitar playing. And that's all creativity. So for the poets, the artists, the writers, the cooks, all that, the gardeners, everyone's creative. I think it's just vital for us to pursue those things, and then mindful that sometimes they get put in the closet for a variety of reasons. But if we can get ourselves back to it, it's so important for our healing.
Right. Even Steve mentioned something about the guitar. I guess Ekaterina and I are going to have to pick up a guitar at some point because we're the only ones. I don't think she may have even said anything, something. But anyway, I wanted to give
Dr. We're going to start a band. Once COVID is over, we're all going to talk.
I can sing, just not well. No one wants to listen to it. That's the problem, other than me. I sit in my office and listen to music and sing to myself all the time. They make fun of me at work, everywhere I've ever worked. But Dr. Romo, I want to turn it back over to you so you can make some comments on what you've heard from these folks. Dr. Romo?
Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate it. I just want to link a couple of thoughts. One is, was it Steve from New Jersey who said, you know, it's a beautiful day, but even if it's not, I mean, we have that in us. We make choices. And there's a, you know, Gabor Mate, probably you all are familiar with his work, and he's got plenty of really great little talks and presentations online. And one recently I listened to was about addictions, and he was basically saying, like we know about childhood or, you know, other overwhelming, you know, traumatic experiences, they can then lead to coping behaviors, coping mechanisms that then can turn into addictions. And he was, you know, briefly saying, in summarizing, saying, you know, addictions are when we look for this sense of connection outside of ourselves rather than that sense of connection within ourselves. And so I want to link that idea with just the process. The last person was just talking about process, you know, going, dealing with, you know, from self-loathing to being happy, from grief to being able to you know, see that beyond the grief. And I know I've mentioned this before, but it really continues to be useful for me and I think for others. That idea of looking at my own experience of growing up with, you know, abuse and neglect and trauma, and then, you know, from that having this fight flight kind of life, and reacting to things around, and then always being so hard on myself to get out of that, right, and hard on other people, and then always wrapped in shame, you know, and so the process for me, and it links back to this idea of from the inside out. You know, I needed to be present to myself. I needed to acknowledge and then from there be good to myself. And, you know, and have that new practice, new set of skills, and get a different sense of what normal was. And then from there, you know, acknowledge. And like, as I said, looking back, seeing growth, not being prideful like in a big ego way, but I'm sure that's still, you know, pretty active. But it's just having perspective and appreciating the goodness that we are. So I think, you know, those are the things that really struck me, that we're all always in process. We're always becoming. We're always in formation. And ultimately, the more connected we are, the less addicted. And, it, you know, our behaviors can be different. We appreciate you all. Your collective wisdom. Thanks.
I like that. The more connected, the less addicted. That was great. That was a great line.
And I would say we're not just addicted to... Okay. Well, just the quick thought. You know, it's not just addicted to a substance. I mean, it could be addicted to attention or to chaos or to, you know, any number of things that we get something out of outside of ourselves. I'll stop.
Right. Correct. All right.
I have a quick comment. You know, Gabor Mate, he is a Canadian. I think we should get him to flock over here, like join NASCA, you know, because he's an exceptional and such an empathic, just incredible person. I definitely follow his work. And I guess I just want to say quickly is being gentle with yourself, right? So I also heard, you know, we need to learn to love yourself. And when people say that to me, the question always comes, okay, I heard that a lot of times, but how do I actually get there? So it's a lot of layers of peeling the onion and doing that inner work and asking ourselves, what do we really like? Like, what do I actually like to do? Because I don't know about you guys, but I spend most of my life people-pleasing. You know, I had my passions, but if someone asked me to do something, I had a hard time saying no, and it was because I was conditioned that way. You know, so now those moments of solitude, who am I, really? And what do I actually like? And learning to say no to things that I never really liked and don't like, or that make me feel anxious. Like, for instance, I don't like huge parties. You know, like anytime anyone call me for a party of some sort, I just retreated into my shell. I was so quiet and introverted and always obsessing about how do I look, what do people think, the self-esteem issues, right, that come up. So before I can even do that again, I have to figure out how do I get the esteem back. And usually it's by doing things that I really like to do. When we go against our values, against our moral compass, against our dreams that we maybe even had or goals, we give ourselves away. We give the power away over, you know, to something else. So it's like, from my journey, it's been, okay, now it's time to get that power back by being true to myself. But I'm still trying to figure that piece out. How do I love myself? And with the guitar, I mean, I do want to definitely, maybe I should start playing a guitar. But, you know, that's kind of scary for me to learn something that new. You know, sometimes we don't feel like doing the things that we like to do. And even that's self-care to say, you know, I'm a little tired. I'm not feeling well. Maybe I need to take an extra hour of sleep. Maybe I need to take a nap. Maybe I need to eat some food, make some shakes, actually cook because I've been starving myself or something like that until I get the energy to do the things that I like to do, because the chicken doesn't come maybe the chicken does come after the egg. Damn it, I don't know. Anyway, you get my drift, okay? So that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you for that. Any comments?
Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I think you have to have both. I don't know. I'm pretty sure. I gotta make this one mention of this one thing that I'm quite conscious of, and that is that I'm conscious of the fact that when I have a sense of what the appropriate action, or at least an appropriate action, might be, maybe it's a series of things, and I haven't yet found the willingness to take the action, that's about the worst I can be, because I'm kind of stuck in this place of should. This is where I'm sitting in the same chair I'm always sitting in, looking at the same wall I'm always looking at, thinking of the same thoughts that I'm still thinking. You know, and I should be doing something else. I should be doing this. I ought to be doing. That is kind of like a living hell. The fact of the matter is, and when I say I should, I'm saying I should out of my own experience. I know if I can get up and do just even one thing towards healing, I will begin to feel better. And perhaps after I do one, I can find the energy to do a second one. Who knows? But you know, sitting there and not being able to find the energy to do the first one, it's a killer for us. And I have to admit that I do it to myself. I mean, so that's it.
Yeah, this is Lori in Calgary. I totally relate to that because we were talking about that on the show the other night. And, you know, sitting there looking at the same wall, staring at the same, sitting in the same chair, looking at the same wall. I need to do things, but I'm not doing it. And it's a struggle. I think that, you know, a lot of us face, and especially survivors of abuse, it's like, you know, it's tough. Making these decisions can be difficult. And how to actually get up out of the chair and go do that, you know, it's like, and when do I do it? It's like, it can be very tough to be, I think, sort of a feeling of being stuck in a rut. You know, you've got that you need to do things, but it's easier to sit in that chair looking at the same wall. You know, and until you make that first step, you know, it seems too hard. But once you make that first step, then you realize it's not that hard. That's what we were talking about the other night. And that's what I've been working on all year. Yeah.
This is Tammy. It's kind of like going to the gym. You know, you sit there and, oh, I should go to the gym. And you dread it. You don't put it off for church. And once you get up and go to the gym, you feel better. And then you go the next day and the next day. But it's,
yeah.
I think you're right. It's that first step, getting that, you know, like for Bill, getting that guitar out of the closet, even if he just puts it on the couch. Get it out. Eventually, maybe he'll walk over to it. But
it's
easier said than done. Yeah,
it is. It's a mental thing. It's totally a mental thing for me anyway, and I go through it too. All year I sort of off and on went through that, but I've found a way to get myself to do things. I just plaster notes everywhere, all over my computer, my coffee cup, anything where I'm going to put my hand or my eyes are going to see, anywhere where I'm looking. I've got these notes that tell me what I need to do. Because otherwise,
absolutely,
I won't do it. I'll just sit there. Yeah. So anything that helps motivate you is good.
Motivation.
Well,
Dr. Romo, do you have any thoughts?
Idea about that.
Go ahead.
I certainly do. Because I think sometimes motivation is helpful. But sometimes if you're feeling stuck, my thought is that there may be some kind of unconscious ways of thinking about whatever this thing that we should be doing. And one way that I've used for myself and others is to think about that. Like, what has someone imposed on you? You know, we kind of get a sense of that. And then, you know, what should not has someone imposed on you? And get a sense of that. And then reverse it. You know, what should have you imposed on someone else? And then what should not have you imposed on someone else? And then there's another layer of, you know, thinking about what should has someone imposed on someone else, and then the reverse, should not. And then the biggest one then comes back to what should have you imposed on yourself? What should not have you imposed? And it just kind of helps to untangle some of the stuff that maybe it's not just we made it up, you know, but we've absorbed it and we've reinforced it or others' behaviors and so on. That might be a part of getting unstuck. I mean, the motivation piece is certainly there, and taking action. I think, you know, emotion, you take an energy and motion, and yeah, that it helps to make a difference when we can actually take an action. And at the same time, I think it can be useful to recognize that there may be some roots to that, you know, should, whatever it is. And to me, then the big payoff is, so I realize what I'm doing to myself, and I maybe realize, you know, that I've done it to other people, and then I can have more compassion.
Okay. Well, I've got to mention to you guys, we are about to wind it down. We've only got 6 minutes left, and I want to give Dr. Romo a chance for some final thoughts, a minute or two for some final thoughts. So I want to go down the line and give everybody just a couple of minutes to give some final thoughts. And I'm going to start with Lori. Lori, what are your final thoughts?
Well, it's been a great show and a lot of very important topics that we've discussed. And I've enjoyed hearing from everybody and learned a lot as well. So I really appreciate being part of this panel. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. Bill, I have to tell you, we've got another host in the training. So Lori and I talked today. We're going to flip roles next Thursday, and she's going to start hosting. So I'm really excited about that.
Yay.
Yay. Lori knows all about
it. I'm excited.
She's been doing it 3 years. Yeah, great.
I know.
I'm excited.
Next Thursday will be her first
Lori.
Hosting gig with us.
That's great.
Well,
thank
I'm excited,
you, Lori,
and I hope I can
that.
Do as good a job as Tammy.
Oh, you'll do wonderful. Yeah, you've got like Bill said, you've got the experience.
Bill does too.
Thank you, Lori.
My final thought
is,
I think I'm going to take one guitar out and then tune it to an open tuning, so I don't have to worry about any fingering for the first few things I play.
Yeah.
How's that?
That's right. Tune it to the open tuning, because I'm learning the Rain Song by Led Zeppelin, and we can both play together.
Well, please.
Thank you for a great show, everybody. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Mike Skinner, what are your final thoughts?
This was great. I think just everybody's respective insights and sharings could have been an hour and a half show, but there was just a lot of nice things brought up, and obviously you wish you had more time to delve into each part of it, but it was some really good food for thought, a lot of great insight. So thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. What night is your show again? Remind us.
It's next Wednesday, I believe.
It's Wednesday, right, Mike?
Yeah, the 21st. 21st. 21st,
and Lori,
Wednesday.
Okay. And, of course, Lori is tomorrow night. Lori Smith, that was
on
our panel tonight. She's going to tell her story tomorrow night. So we got two people here are going to tell their stories within the next few days.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice. All right, cool. Thank you. Katarina, what are your final thoughts?
Wow, well, my anxiety went from a 9 to a 2, you know, so I think you guys did a pretty good job in just giving me some tips how to survive the next week or the next day, even tonight. I'm feeling so energized right now, and it's because of the topic. You know, when we're on our own in our heads, it's not always healthy. So all these perspectives are really awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Katarina. I really call it in. Thanks for being here. Steve McNally in New Jersey, what are your final thoughts?
Oh, I just got on a train, so I didn't even know if I was going to be able to give a final thought because the whistle was blowing us. This was a great show. It was a great one for me to reconnect here, and I would like to hear that rendition of Rain Song. That's a daunting task to learn that one, and I just wanted to say for Bill, one of my tricks is put the guitar somewhere between you and the wall or you and the bathroom, and you're sure to be reminded to practice or to pick it up. I like the open tuning idea, too. That's a good one.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Well, we've got just a couple of minutes left, but I want to give really quickly Dr. Romo a chance to give some final thoughts. Dr. Romo?
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, everybody. Again, sorry I missed the first part. You're all brilliant. And whoever said something about playing together, whether it's musically or just in the going forward, I love that metaphor. Katarina said something about, you know, who am I? And that's an ongoing question. I know some people use that as one of the questions going into meditation. You know, who am I? What do I want? What's my purpose? And that it's not something we even consciously think about, but we kind of set the intention that we will get more in touch with those things and live those. And so I'm back to that song called The One, that, you know, each one of us is one and that we are all one. And, you know, there's a great documentary with David Bohm, you know, the physicist, and how he took Einstein's theory and was looking for the underlying, you know, mathematical explanation for what unifies us all. And he talked with Krishnamurti, you know, the Indian teacher, and they were talking the same language, that we're all one. And so that strikes me. I grew up with my grandmother who gave me this little question, you know, saying, like, dime con quien andas y te digo quien eres, right? Tell me who you hang out with, and I'll tell you who you are. And so I think we are all in this healing journey. We're all in this transforming journey. We are, you know, swimming in the same soup of, you know, societal stuff and things to be worried about and sad about. But that's what I hear in this group that I'm just so happy to be connected to. A wounded healer story and playing together. Thank you.
Thank you for that. We are definitely out of time. I want to thank everybody for calling in, and thank you, Dr. Romo. And we certainly understand, you missing the first part of the show, and bless that person that you were with. So I would like to end the show by saying God bless the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse. Good night, everybody.
I'll
had gone with